The Anton Savage Show
with Kiries.ie
on News Talk.
The continuing escalation of the industrial relations battle between Aer Lingus and the Irish Airline Pilots Association. Captain Mark Tighe of IALPA accusing Aer Lingus of escalating the dispute, claiming it's a campaign of antagonism. Meanwhile, Aer Lingus saying IALPA's decision clearly designed to inflict maximum damage on passengers. And this is the decision to take strike action impacting tens of thousands of passengers. With us is aviation journalist Gerry Byrne. Gerry, this is getting more and more complicated and more spiteful, it would seem, on both sides. Can you just briefly bring us up to speed on how we got here?
Okay. COVID, I suppose, was the beginning of it all, when pilots' earnings were fairly dramatically reduced. If they weren't flying, they weren't earning flying time. They were just getting a very, very basic salary. But scroll forward through several years of inflation, fairly serious, significant inflation. Food costs have gone up by 25% and so on and so forth. And the union, the pilots' union, IALPA, has been looking for 25% pay increases across the board. The company, Aer Lingus, has granted them or has offered just under 10% following mediation. IALPA says that's not enough. We still want our 25% because we've gone through a lot. The company has dug its heels in. IALPA has served notice of a work to rule, which is fairly significant, and it led to the company cancelling more than 10% of its flights, possibly up to 20% in some cases, some routes. The company then was sort of hit by a double blow because IALPA announced that they're having an 8-hour strike on Saturday of next week. Now, the work to rule starts midweek next week, but the 8-hour strike came after Aer Lingus had made all these adjustments, cancelled flights, notified passengers, etc., that sort of thing. And then came the double body blow, as it were, of an 8-hour strike, which would be very, very serious.
And very, very serious for, as I say, tens of thousands of passengers. The kind of impact we're looking at is what?
Oh, it's incalculable at the moment, because we're looking at passengers flying into Ireland for their holidays and people flying out of Ireland for their holidays. This is affecting business as well, because Aer Lingus carries a lot of business passengers who are flying to business meetings all over the world. And they're going to be busy trying to get additional flights or replacement flights for the ones that are going to be cancelled. It's very, very serious.
In terms of the, you mentioned the mediation as provided by the industrial relations arms of the state. Micheál Martin has, I think, been quoted as effectively saying, reading between the lines, that there is a very sophisticated methodology for dealing with these kind of pay claims provided by the state, and it would have been useful had it been accepted. Why was it not?
I think the union felt that, to put it mildly, the airline was not going to be sympathetic, and they felt that they might as well go straight to mediation, which is what they did do, and they have now rejected that in any event. So the thinking probably is that were they to go to this other methodology that the minister has suggested, they would get a similar result.
And Gerry, what about the level of public sympathy? Because it is one thing when people who are on relatively low wages strike and seek increases. But in this instance, Aer Lingus has not been behind the door in highlighting the kind of wages that Aer Lingus pilots receive. And Mr. Moriarty, the spokesperson for Aer Lingus, was on News Talk Breakfast during the week. And one of the things he was pointing out, one in four of the pilots in question earning €287,000 per year, which means a 20% increase would hand them, in essence, €60,000 on top of that.
Yeah, yeah. They are. I mean, I remember a headline years ago when there was a strike at Aer Lingus, and the headline read, Why are the rich going on strike? So, yes, they are well paid. At the same time, they have a very responsible job. They have to undergo constant training and retraining. fatigue is a major problem with pilots. It's very, very difficult, especially during the summertime when they are working every hour they are legally allowed to, compared to the winter time when they have a relatively easy time. But against that, yes, it is a very, very large increase, 25%. But at the same time, I imagine they will settle for less. I cannot see them necessarily holding out to get every single percentage point of that increase.
Gerry Byrne, thanks very much for your time this morning.
You're very welcome.
And we have a group of people who are impacted and representing those who are impacted in studio. I have with me the general manager of one of Dublin's most significant central hotels, that being Buzzwells, and that's Paul Gallagher, and also the CEO of the Irish Travel Agents Association, Claire Dunn. Claire, I assume your members have had a busy night.
Absolutely, Antonio, absolutely. We only got the notification, as you saw, probably on the Aer Lingus website yesterday, about 20 to 5. So although we had been in touch with our clients all during the day and for the past 2 weeks since this happened, we couldn't actually start rebooking people until yesterday evening. So our members have been working all night and they'll be working all weekend, just trying to find solutions on different flights, different dates. And then, of course, it's not just the flight. It's also the accommodation, the transfers. If there's a cruise involved, it gets even more complicated. So, yeah, busy, busy time.
And I assume as well they are getting calls not just from those who are immediately affected by cancellations, but those who are panicked that they might be.
Yeah, and I've been saying all week, you know, sit tight, stay calm. And we would ask people who aren't travelling in the next 2 weeks to just be patient. You know, don't tie up the phone lines at the moment, because we are concentrating on people who in departure date order. So it would be better just to leave that for the moment. If you want to send in an email to your travel agent, you know, do that, but try not to tie up the phone lines, because it is taking time away from the people who really need the help at this moment.
In these kind of things, usually there is the public face and there is the private reality. Undoubtedly, given your role as CEO of the Irish Travel Agents Association, you have some insight into the private reality. Is there any sense of rapprochement or defrosting of relations or anything?
There doesn't seem to be at the moment, and we have been calling all week for both parties to get together, you know, I mean, to forget about all this rhetoric that's been thrown around and just sit down together in a sensible, respectful manner and work out a solution. We all know that this dispute will be resolved eventually. So can they not do it now and stop disrupting the travelling public?
Well, let's look at the nature of that disruption. First of all, from a hotelier's perspective, are you predicting much impact in terms of tourism, Paul? Obviously, Buzzwell's representative of urban hotels around the country.
Yeah, I think, you know, Aer Lingus are dialing back their seat capacity from Wednesday. So, you know, 44 flights a day. You know, that's a huge implication to Irish tourism and corporate Ireland as well at the same time. But it affects families all over Ireland, you know, people coming home for weddings and funerals and whatnot. So it's a real problem. A full day strike is incredibly difficult because there's no other choice. Other airlines don't have capacity. They can just swing in and say, right, we'll just pick up the piece of Aer Lingus. So if you take a transatlantic, there are 1,700 seats a day. 50% of those are Aer Lingus from 13 hubs in the US. You know, they represent 24% of all our tourist numbers, but they spend 37% of all the tourist revenue. And they go to all of the regions. So they're very important for all of Ireland rather than just Dublin. Mm-hmm. But you can't get away from it. Dublin is the gateway for
Ireland. Sorry, hang on a minute, Paul. There's a lot of significant numbers in there, and I just want to be sure that I have them right. 37% of our tourist revenue is derived from the US market, of which half arrive on Aer Lingus flights.
Correct. And 85% of those arrive into Dublin. So although Cork and Shannon take in US flights, the vast majority will put their first foot on Dublin.
If that gets disrupted, that is a huge economic impact.
Yeah, it is. And you see, people don't realise that, you know, Ireland has to compete very aggressively in order to win visitors. You know, they don't just come here because they just think they'll come here. We have to put things in their heads that makes them, you know, want to be here. And we have competitor destinations doing the exact same thing, trying to undermine what we do. So in an American's mind, there isn't a huge difference between Ireland and Scotland. Quite honestly, besides bagpipes and haggis, there isn't really an awful lot in the difference. And, you know, our loss could be their gain. But unfortunately, if you disrupt visitors from a certain region, what happens is the workaround starts to take place. So the travel agents and so on try to find solutions for these people. And if you shift them enough, it creates a long-term disruption to our pipeline of business into Ireland.
And presumably it also creates a long-term disruption for Aer Lingus, because if somebody gets habituated into booking with a competitor airline,
or if they have a lingering doubt over the capacity of Aer Lingus to deliver for them, United or American starts to look very attractive. You were talking about the impacts on people. There will obviously be those who are greatly impacted if they have group parties. And we're hearing a lot about people, for instance, with weddings. We're joined by Laura Eskin, who runs the bridal shop Spellbound Bridal in Arklow. Good morning, Laura.
Good morning.
Are you seeing brides and grooms and bridal parties being impacted?
Hugely. The Aer Lingus strike is really adding to the stress of my brides. I've 8 brides all getting married abroad for their destination weddings in Spain, France, Italy, Croatia in the next 2 weeks. And usually a bride's only concern in the final days and weeks before her destination wedding is that her dress fits her perfectly and how she should safely bring her bridal gown on board the aircraft to avoid creasing. So planning a wedding is stressful enough without the additional worry as to whether you and your guests will be able to travel to the venue. The villas, the hotels, the vineyards that host these wedding weekends for large family celebrations, they've all been paid by the couple and they simply won't get their money back if the guests' flights get cancelled. And the wedding party guests are already forking out a huge amount of money for new outfits, accommodation, travel, and they can't afford to book a backup flight with another airline at this late stage. So it's a complete mess. And wedding guests are phoning the bride and groom, phoning their parents. They're looking for answers and direction as to what alternative routes they should take should the worst happen. And the brides are just in a complete tailspin over this Aer Lingus strike. It's the not knowing that's the worst part. Those who've been emailed to know, who know now that their flight has been affected, they're busy trying to make those alternative plans. But there are people who are about 7 days out and they haven't yet been notified as to whether this Aer Lingus strike is going to continue longer than the original 5 days. And they're in a panic as well, but yet they can't do anything about it.
Laura, thanks very much. That's Laura Eskin, bridal shop, owner of bridal shop Spellbound Bridal in Arklow. And as Laura says, it depends on an awful lot of the information will be asked of the bride and groom if it is a wedding party as to what should people do. And of course, not everybody is booked on the same flights. Dolores is a case in point, is with us. Dolores is a bride. She's getting married in Croatia. She's flying Ryanair June 29th, but the bridal party is with Aer Lingus, which means she might end up in Croatia on her own. Dolores, is there a possibility of that or do you now know?
Well, the 29th, I think, is gone, as far as I know, with flights. But that's my niece and my husband-to-be, his uncle, who was standing in for his dad, who had passed a few years ago. So they're on that flight on the 29th. And as far as we're saying, it's obviously a strike is going ahead. So I've literally just looked up Skyscanner this morning and there's absolutely nothing there for a direct flight to Croatia. They're all 17, 20-hour flights. That's all that's available at the minute.
So what are you going to do?
Nothing. There's nothing we can do. I don't know whether they're going to change them. I don't know what they're going to do. And I'm literally given final numbers. I can't even tell her, can I hold off? And then there's someone, the 30 that are coming out to us, his immediate sister and family. The wedding's on the Monday, which is the first. I'm just in limbo, to be honest, and I'm just looking at them flights and they're disgusting. 17-hour flights, 22-hour flights, go over for, it's 2 hours, 50 minutes to Croatia. There's no direct flights, they're gone. They're completely gone. I've never seen anything like it.
Well, this goes to the point that Laura Eskin was just making about that. This is, I assume, the point where you thought you would be doing nothing but looking forward to the wedding. Yes. It must be awfully stressful.
Awfully stressful because they're the main part. His uncle, as I said, is standing in for his dad, doing a lovely speech, all of that. Looking forward, have all the day planned the day before, everything like that. And it's up in limbo because there was a little bit of hope yesterday with flights when they get the list of flights. But then when the strike, decided to strike on Saturday of all days. You see, Aer Lingus only do, from my experience, because I've been to Croatia a good few times, Aer Lingus only do an early flight in the morning at 7:30 to Croatia. They don't do any other times. That's gone. Out the window. I don't know whether they'll do anything later on in the day. Nobody's given us answers. So it's only one flight to Dubrovnik on a Saturday morning at 7:30. So are they going to accommodate people and fly them later after the strike? I don't know. Nobody knows anything.
Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed that something comes up for you, Dolores. But it's an awful situation to be in. That is Dolores there, who is getting married in Croatia and directly impacted by the cancellations as a legacy of this industrial relations dispute, a dispute that seems to be hardening in a lot of the rhetoric. We're joined by Porik Okeja, who is the founder of Air Ireland, former CEO of Air Ireland, former senator. Pádraig, can I ask first of all, if you're running IAG and you know that looking at Aer Lingus, there is a risk that this could set a precedent for what British Airways does, for what Iberia does, and for what the other airlines in International Consolidated Airlines Group do, would you buckle?
Good morning, Anton. I think this is... No, I wouldn't is the short answer. But I actually think that this is it's more fundamental than that from an IAG point of view, International Airlines Group. They've got five airlines in their group, and it's a matter of principle, I think, for them more than anything else. And that's why they're sticking so hard to their guns, and that they're happy and they're very happy to go through the Labour Court and the WRC and so on. But when they do that, and if those directions are not accepted, whereby the trade union and the employer puts all their cards on the table and faces them up, and an independent body of credibility makes an assessment, makes a decision, and yet the pilots' union, IALPA, are not willing to accept that, then I see the employer, IAG, digging their heels in. And it's the overall situation is really unfortunate, Anton, because from what we heard there from all your guests is people, innocent people, are being held hostage in relation to this. It's absolutely disgraceful.
And can I ask, part of, because one of the things that always gets said in these kind of things is that a deal inevitably gets done. A deal looks impossible until it actually happens. Presumably that is your expectation, that at some point there has to be a softening of both sides and everybody has to get in the room. Or do you think it is, as you say, is this going to be the point of principle on which Aer Lingus say we will absolutely go to the wall?
I don't think Aer Lingus are going to go to the wall. Aer Lingus are no longer an Irish airline. They're part of an international group of airlines, and a lot of decisions, a lot of core decisions are done and influenced by IAG internationally and not necessarily in Dublin Airport, even though Dublin Airport or Aer Lingus head office in Dublin Airport would have an influence on that. But I do believe it's a matter of it's gone to a matter of principle at this stage. And I just think it's terrible. It's unfortunate. So it is. And it's holding the whole country to a degree at ransom at the biggest time of the year that you've got people coming on holidays and going out. Like, for example, it's costing, in my estimation, based on the passenger numbers and all of that, it's costing in the region of 5 to 6 million euros a day on the Irish economy. That if you're talking about 4,000 passengers a day and they spend an average 1,500 euros, that's Fáilte Ireland's figures. That's 6 million a day. That's 30 million it's costing over 5 days for the Irish economy. The people who are just the innocent bystanders.
Pádraig, thanks very much for your time. This Pádraig O'Cadhia there, the founder of Air Ireland. That goes back to the numbers that you were giving us, Paul, at the outset. This is Paul Gallagher, general manager of Buzzwells. You were talking about the impact that this is having economically. 6 million quid a day on the Irish economy by Pádraig O'Cadhia's numbers. Your expectation of a deal getting done, do you see light at the end of any tunnel?
It will be done. Look, an employer will always offer as little as they can. An employee will always ask for as much as they can get. And eventually they will find some position in the middle of that and say, we can coalesce around this, and this is a figure that we all believe are winners. And I had a look before I came in. The national minimum wage rose about 16% in the last 3 years. So, I mean, I'm not saying that that's the rate of percentage that everybody has enjoyed, but I wouldn't be at all surprised if Aer Lingus settles with the unions at around 16% and move away from this, because, quite honestly, it costs 140,000 euros to cancel one transatlantic flight and 40,000 euros to cancel one short-haul flight. And we're talking about somewhere in the region of 65 flights a day. You know, I think Pádraig's figures are lower than they will be. It's going to be astronomically expensive.
Final word to you, Claire. Will it also be astronomically damaging in the long term for Aer Lingus? Because I assume it does have the effect of making people wary if they feel industrial action might threaten my holiday.
Absolutely. The longer it goes on, the more, you know, impact it will have. And we've had a lot of people on during the week who said they booked Aer Lingus because they thought they were the reliable airline. And now it turns out that that isn't the case. I do know that Aer Lingus are working on trying to hire in aircraft. So all is not lost necessarily for next Saturday. There may be some flights. We're waiting to hear about that.
Well, there may be some solace in that for Dolores and other people who are in her similar position. Thank you to Dolores. Thanks to Laura Eskin of the bridal shop Spellbound in Arklow. Pádraig O'Cadhia, founder of Air Aran. Paul Galler, I should say, general manager of Buzzwells Hotel in Dublin, and Claire Dunn, the CEO of the Irish Travel Agents Association. Back.
The Anton Savage Show
with Kiri's.ie
on News Talk.